Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hello, Negotiations Ninja listeners. Welcome to this throwback edition of the show where we talk to the amazing Phil Jones. He's an international business speaker, author of Exactly What to Say, Exactly How to Sell, and Exactly Where to Start. He's an amazing guy, and he knows all about what it takes to, as he puts it, develop the magic words for influence and impact. And in this throwback episode, we do exactly that. Enjoy. Phil, how are you?
All things considered, Mark, I'm fabulous right now.
Fantastic, man. I'm very excited to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Huge pleasure. It's always good to be on great shows like this one.
Well, thank you very much, man. That means a lot coming from a guy like you. As surprising as it might seem, there are some people who don't know who you are. So,
really?
Right? I know. Let's get into an intro. I'd love for you to tell the listeners a bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'll try and keep this brief. My name's Phil Jones. I've been in business and an entrepreneur pretty much since a child. So I started with my first business at 14 years of age, knocking on the doors of my neighbors, asking them quite politely if they wanted their cars washed. And by the age of 15, I had a little business that was earning me more money than most of my school teachers, kept building small entrepreneurial businesses through my teens, sidestepped the decision of going to university, and had quite a successful corporate career working through various sales leadership roles, which takes us through till 2008 period of time, where I had a large independent property business that was selling investments overseas that was doing great on a Thursday. And by a Friday, we had a product we couldn't give away when everything moved against us. So when I bought that business down, I decided while I figure out what I wanted to do next is I'd start a small sales training business, helping non-salespeople achieve improved sales results in my local community in the middle of England at the time. And since that point in time to now, that training company has grown organically to mean that I now mostly speak for a living, have spoken in 59 different countries, 5 different continents, helped over 800 different industries, written 7 best-selling books, and trained over 2 million people. But interestingly enough, I still really only see myself as knowing how to do 3 things reasonably well. And one of those is acquire more new customers. A second is to get those customers to come back more often. And third is finding ways to help them spend more money when they shop. And I've learned that if I can help others do the same at those things in the moments that matter, then they can live a fairly abundant life too.
Fantastic, man. I love it. You know, ever since I read Dale Carnegie's classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I've been sort of searching for that book that goes a level deeper. I think Cialdini's book, Influence, is fantastic.
Yep.
That does that. There's a couple of others. But I think a lot of people look for sort of the practical depth that that book misses, which I really think that your book hits out of the park. So just for the listeners, just so that you know, listeners, we're talking about his book, Exactly What to Say. And when I read this book, it was interesting to me because he really does pull out the scripting on exactly what to say. And that's what we're going to dive into in this discussion. I love the practicality of it. It's a quick read, and it's one of those things that you sort of carry around with you in your bag, if you don't mind me saying. It's almost like a field manual where you're like, I really got stuck in that lost sales call, or I really got stuck in that lost negotiation. What could I have said differently? This is the kind of book that I would go back to over and over again to be like, okay, I could have said this, I could have said that. So congratulations on that. I think that's fantastic.
I take that as a huge compliment. That was his goal.
Good. So some of the key lessons, I'm going to pull out some of the questions and starter questions that you have in the book. That's how I want to structure this interview. Very different than I would usually do an interview, but it's so practical that I really want to dive into the sort of the meat and potatoes of it. And the first one is really the first key lesson. And I think it's great for basically opening up someone's mind to an idea where you say, I'm not sure if it's for you, but... Mm-hmm. Could you talk around that for a second and why you see that as such a powerful intro?
For sure. I think let's start with the problem we're trying to address.
Sure.
Is one of the biggest reasons that people fail to achieve their version of success, whatever that version of success is because they don't ask for it.
Yes.
And your success is in direct correlation to the quantity of quality asks that you make in your life. And when I ask people what stops them from asking for things, it's typically fear, or it's rejection, or it's fear of rejection. So the reason that we start in this position is that it provides a rejection-free opening formula. It removes the option of you getting a harsh no or getting some huge brush off. Many of the words in the book are words that talk straight to subconscious brain. And I'm sure every one of your listeners understands the power of subconscious. Yeah, in this given example, what we've got is we've got a few things that happen in the subconscious. See, if I was to say to you as a preface to my ask or my idea, I'm not sure if it's for you, then the little voice inside your head does two things. The first thing your little voice does is it says, well, I'll be the judge of that. It takes full personal responsibility for the fact that the decision is about to be made, and that decision is mine to make. The second thing that happens if you preface an ask with the words, I'm not sure if it's for you, is curiosity is piqued. Intrigue is crafted, and the other person wants to lean in. They naturally feel that they're being pulled more to try and understand what this thing might be. Yet the three-letter word on the back of this example is something that holds immense power. And like the great Peter Parker once said, with great power comes great responsibility. The same is true with how we use the word but in our conversations. See, the word but should typically be avoided. Why? Because it negates, right? Is what it does is it backspaces on what was said prior. Listeners right now, if you've ever been on the receiving end of some feedback where somebody says, look, I know you're trying your best, you're doing the things the way that you used to always do things, but what you go on to remember is everything that follows the but. So if I wanted somebody to consider my idea, I would on purpose take them through that little three-step dance of, I'm not sure if it's for you, but where their little voice says, well, I'll be the judge of that. And what is it? And hang on, I might want to know about it. I shift the focus to what's next. So they actually end up hearing, this could well be for me. And the examples of that in application are plentiful. Like in a commercial setting is what you could say is, hey, I'm not sure if it's for you, but would you like to learn more about how some of our other customers are taking full advantage of our product portfolio? It could also be utilized in a social setting. Hey, I'm not sure if it's for you, but there's a new restaurant that's opened on the high street and I'd love to go with someone like you. And what it does is it removes the friction because it gives you permission to be in the conversation that you're really hoping to have. It's almost a stepping stone before an island. And this is what gives us the key to get to the conversation as opposed to trying to start the big conversation from a cold position. Does that make sense, Mark?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, exactly sort of the direction that I wanted to go with this because it basically starts the conversation. And I really think that conversation is the big thing that's lacking in a lot of negotiations because people just don't have those go-to phrases or go-to words that they can help sort of generate the talk, so to speak, because your goal in negotiation or sales in general is to get the other counterparty to start talking so that you can actually have a discussion with them on an ongoing basis.
The goal is to get to a position of mutual respect with permission before you can get to the challenging part. And I often view it as a game of tennis. Before anybody starts to play a heated set of rallies, a heated set of sets in the game of tennis, more often than not, they just want to knock the ball over the net. Once, twice, three times, 15 times to get a feel for how things are going. And more conversations need to start in that position. And I think people devalue small talk by thinking that small talk is nonsensical.
I agree with you.
What I believe that we need to have is purposeful small talk that allows us just to be able to feel each other out in a very professional way that gives us permission that says the conversation that I'd really like to have is something you're open to have too, and that we're all on the same page.
Yeah. And building that conversation up, I think, is critical to get to the point where you're going to start potentially telling a story or guiding them sort of through the hero's journey. I want to jump ahead a bit and I want to get into where you start talking about just imagine and why that is so important to be able to get into building the story for the customer.
Yeah, great. I like how that example can be used in application even more so. And to back up a little, and the book is very interesting because it's a book of examples that are really examples that are hiding principles. So every one of those examples, I could actually write a book about that has, you know, 8 hours worth of substance behind it that is principle focused. And Just Imagine is definitely one of those. And I think what we need to understand if we're going to increase our level of influence in any given moment is to gain a deeper understanding of the word motivation. It's a word that is often overused, particularly in the world of negotiation, is how do you find a motivated seller, motivated buyer, a motivated person, etc. And the pure definition of the word motivation is from the coming together of two words. First word being the Latin word motivus, second word being the word that we know as action. And it's the forcing together of those two words that creates the word motivation. So motivus means motive, And if somebody takes action, it means they're going to move, or it means they're going to do something. So all that's meant by the word motivation really is a reason to move. Now, if you can find the other person's reason to move, it's probably fair to say that you could get just about anybody to do just about anything, providing the reason was big enough and providing that reason is aligned to them. What you then add to that is that we know that there are only three different forms of motivation, and that's the things that you might want to run towards, the things that you might want to run away from, or the things that make your heart sing. Now what we've got is some levers that we can use in language to help influence somebody's set of circumstances.
Yeah, very Freudian, right? Like pain, pleasure sort of ideas.
Yeah, and it's pain, pleasure, plus also self-actualization. Now you take those pieces and say, how do you use them? Well, what you start to say is how does the decision-making process truly work? Well, a key thing in decision-making is to understand that every decision that every human being has ever made has been made at least twice. What do I mean by that? I mean, we make our decisions first in our mind's eye, hypothetically speaking. What we often have is a situation that, whether we say this out loud or just in our head, is I cannot see myself doing that. And if you cannot see yourself doing something, the likelihood of you choosing to do it remains slim to none. So logic would prevail and say, well, actually, if I can get somebody to see themselves in a scenario before I invite them to take an action that will prevent or attract that scenario, then chances are they're more likely to choose to do the thing. So what am I now looking at? I'm now looking at the thing that people use to make decisions is the images that appear in their head. Those are our memories. How did those memories get there? They were either experiences that we lived through or experiences that were shared with us. And if those were experiences that were shared with us, they were typically shared with us in the form of a story. That story created images. Those imageries created reference points in our memories. Those reference points act as anchors for our decision-making today. And that's a lot of backstory to tell you why the example Just Imagine works so well. But you see, a child would know a story is coming because an adult might deliver to them the words once upon a time. And when an adult delivers the words once upon a time, the child accepts that this is an opportunity to let go of all inhibition, open up the memory bank, say, give me the pictures. I want to put these pictures in my story bank. You cannot use the words once upon a time to open the image viewer in an adult's mind in the same way, but you can use the words Just Imagine. And now I can paint pictures in the minds of other people of things that they might want to run towards, things that they might want to run away from, or things that could make their heart sing. And it is their scenario playing of the crafting of that image in their own mind that creates the visualization of the thing that they either want, don't want, or would make their heart sing, that they can then take a certain action today. So I answered it the long way around, Mark. But again, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that being able to get the counterparty to a point where you can take them through that story is very, very powerful. And I think that's a lot of where a lot of sales, especially in the B2B space, fall down flat. They don't have enough good stories that they can pull from, customer success stories, whatever it might be, to be able to say, you know, just imagine you're in a situation like Gene was.
Yeah. And it isn't even case studies sometimes. They just don't have the emotional intelligence to understand the true benefit of the benefit of the benefit of working with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they can't say things like, just imagine that the impact that this is going to have on the efficiency of ABC department, knowing that you're going to be saving 17 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just imagine what you might be able to do with the additional time that this new software platform has created for you and how you might be able to apply that through your organization to achieve more of your long-term goals. Right? They don't see that. They are very almost monodirectional or dimensional or short-sighted with the benefit they're trying to get somebody to see. And the intelligence here says, if you can see chapter 11 of the story and all you're asking them to do is to turn the first page, paint the just imagine picture of chapter 11.
Right. Exactly.
So that what they can see is, why is it worth turning the first page? Because for most people, when they're looking to steer people through periods of change, the early change is full of friction. It's full of adversity. It's hard work. Nobody wants to do it. So we've got to get them seeing the longer term benefits or the consequences of not would be another way of coming at it too.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. so that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show. The thing that I love about your stuff is that you pull these just imagine examples from the discussions that you've had from the opening, where you start talking about, you know, I'm not sure if this is for you, but you get into the conversation and then you start asking the questions about, you know, how would you feel if, and you get their emotions tied into it so that you can start delivering just imagine, basically.
Correct. Right? It's a dance. And I think most negotiations, the second you see them as a dance, you can decide that your responsibility is to lead the dance. Yeah, you've got to take the other person with you. And if the other person isn't enjoying the dance in the way that you are leading it, then it's not going to achieve the outcome you're looking for. It has to be something that has fluidity to it, something that the other person feels like they're being romanced through a set of steps. And they're just a micro step behind where you are. That's it.
Oftentimes we get to a point where we feel like we may be losing a sale or losing part of the negotiation. We feel like, this is not, for whatever reason, this is not going to work, or whatever it might be. We go through the song and the dance and we get to a point where we feel like we're probably going to get a no from the person once we make the ask. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talk about is phrasing before you make up your mind. And I find this very, very powerful because, like you say, it's very hard to move a no to a yes, pretty much impossible. Right. But to move a no to a maybe and then a maybe to a yes, that's possible.
That's
so, yeah. And so I want you to talk through the application of before you make up your mind.
Okay. And we've all been in this situation. And I think you phrased it and framed it out there perfectly. It's that I feel like I'm losing this. This seems to be going down the wrong path. And I'm either at the situation where I'm going to say, oh, thanks ever so much. It's been great speaking to you. I'll leave it with you. We're ready when you're ready. It's that kind of conversation.
Right.
Or you say, well, how do I insert some more curiosity back into this that can allow me to insert a new piece of data that could actually start to open up this possibility further for me? And what you do is you use the process of labeling. And that's what the before you make your mind up premise is. Mm. What we've done is we've just enunciated the temperature of this conversation with the framework that they haven't made their mind up yet. And now all of a sudden, we've created this play space that is fundamentally gray that we can insert some new evidence into. So if I was to say to somebody, look, before you make your mind up, would it make sense that you had a conversation with some of our existing clients so that you could find out all of your real world practical questions being answered by people that have been in your situation? Hey, look, before you make your mind up, would it make sense that we run through some full costing analysis so that you could see what you're really hurting with for not making this decision right now? Hey, before you make your mind up, would it make sense that you had a conversation with our product team just so that we could walk you through how the integration would really work and maybe alleviate some of your concerns about the handover? So what it's just done is it's allowed them to be in maybe. It said, I know you're a maybe. It said, I know I'm not asking you for a yesterday. Let's accept that you're a firm maybe, and I'm going to lead you towards something that I believe might swing that maybe more in my favor. So we've just changed the direction of the conversation. Instead of you falling off of a slippery slope, what you've done is changed the gradient and just steered it in a new direction that gives you the potential of getting back in the game.
Yeah, there's another application very similar to this that I really love that Dr. Mark Gulston talks about in his book, Just Listen, where you feel like you're going to get close to potentially a no or where this is going to fall apart, where he actually challenges the counterparty to come up with ideas, but it's very empathetic. So it basically goes, look, I'm just going to stop because it's very clear to me that you've been listening for something and I haven't delivered that thing. So what's that thing that you're listening for that we've missed the mark on? And that puts it in the counterparty's basically court to be able to say, oh, okay, well, these are all the things that, and then you can start saying, okay, well, before you make up your mind on those things, and I love how those two things could potentially work up together.
And building on that, Mark, as well, I'll throw another example in, is I'm currently doing a new edition of the book that is going to come out later this year, that is a commemorative edition for a million copies being in distribution around the world, etc. And we've inserted some new sequences of magic words. So I deliberately kept it brief for this first edition, and we're adding 3 to 5 new sequences of magic words. And I'll share one with you now. In fact, the first podcast I've introduced any of the new material on. But it ties into this so remarkably well. And it's the preface that can put you back in control in these scenarios. So taking the work that you just mentioned there and what we've discussed. And it's the preface, help me understand.
See, if you use the words help me understand to set up a situation, you insert curiosity into it and you insert empathy into that conversation too. So that could be used in the exact same way that you've just mentioned. Is help me understand, what am I missing here? Help me understand what it is that you're really looking for in a vendor. And if you put a positional statement in front of the words, help me understand, for example, you say, like, we were invited out to this meeting because of the fact that you said you wanted to help, you want help with blank, blank, and blank. I've tried to talk you through some of the solutions that we can provide for you, but something feels like it's just, you know, off the mark a touch, that we're not giving you the information, the answers you're looking for. Help me understand, what am I missing? What is it you're really looking for in a vendor? What is it you were really hoping that I might come out and share with you today that would give you the confidence that we're the right choice? And it completely pivots the conversation and it puts the onus on them to let them sell you.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. There's a piece in here, as a Columbo fan, there's a piece in here that I really, really love. And it's this, just one more thing. You know, when Columbo used to walk into the room and basically look like a fumbling idiot at the end and be like, oh, just one more thing. Why use this? Why is this so powerful? I mean, it, for me, it may very well be the most powerful part of this whole book.
There's a moment in any form of negotiation, particularly where the person feels like they're the one that is being sold to, or they're the one that's under interrogation, or they're the one that's on the back foot, that their natural behavior is to have increased levels of anxiety. Their guard is up, their body is a touch more tense, and with that is apprehension. So throughout the negotiation, the conversation, its entirety, they're a little bit guarded. So even whether it goes well or it goes badly, they've held that position of energy through the whole discussion, the whole meeting, the whole exchange. There becomes a point that is at the end of that exchange, that is when the meeting is over, but not entirely over, where that anxiety bleeds out of the other person's situation. They think that the thing is done and they have a hypothetical exhale. Here, you have all of the trust, all of the rapport, all of the momentum, but none of the anxiety. So it becomes your moment to be able to ask for more. And failure to be able to use that moment is just leaving opportunity on the table. And how could you use that? By creating more Columbo moments? Well, you could create Columbo moments on a maybe. Like, as you're wrapping things up, putting things in your bag, exiting out the meeting, is you could turn back to the conversation and say, hey, just one more thing. When would be a time that we can pick up this conversation again? Because I felt like today didn't quite go the way that we were both hoping for. Right. And now you're going to get a direct answer. It could be used as an upsell. Oh, hey, just one more thing is, many people that have moved forward with blank are thinking about blank, blank, and blank. Would you like me to put a quote together for those things too? Right. And we've just got a potential add-on there.
I love the opportunity to make it almost like a retail checkout, right? Like, you know, where you've got your gum and chocolate and magazines and all the rest of it.
Would you like fries with that, right?
Right, exactly.
It really is that you're in the transaction. Can we create an add-on? But you have to think about this ahead of time, because that moment is past the second you've left the meeting. You can't get this back on the agenda later. And it could also be utilized as a chance of layering relationships, which I think is particularly prudent right now, when many of us have, you know, 1 or 2 key contacts within an organization, and we know that's vulnerable. And the chance to be able to actually grow your sphere of influence within a client or an opportunity is harder when much of our communication is virtual, is you could create Columbo moments to get introductions into other people in the organization. Hey, just one more thing. Who's your best contact in the ABC department? Because I'd love to talk to them about blank. And you can just tee up and negotiate an introduction to somebody else.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I love the introduction application of that. I've never thought of that. That's really, really powerful. Okay, last thing that I want to chat with you about before we close off today, and I know we've kind of peppered you with questions, but I feel like we're delivering so much value, we may as well keep going. When people say no, and they're super adamant that they're not going to change their minds, one of the people that I spoke to earlier on in the start of this podcast creation was a guy named Herb Cohen, who wrote the book, You Can Negotiate Anything. Mm-hmm. And one of the examples that he gave is when someone says no, and you're just about to walk out the door and you turn back and say, look, just out of curiosity, what could have made this deal work? And there's no pressure anymore because they've already said no. And then they start telling you all the things that could have made this deal work. And you start slowly walking back to the desk and have that conversation with them. And what I love about your application of this is you can use this for anything, right? So just out of curiosity, what is it specifically that you need time to think about? Or just out of curiosity, what is it that's stopping you from moving forward with this right now? That application, once the pressure is off, is incredibly powerful because now they don't have to, their backs aren't against the wall anymore.
Right. What you've got there is you've got a softener to a direct question. Think about how it changes the tonality. If I just said to somebody, like, what's stopping you from moving forward right now? Or if I said to somebody, you know, what would need to happen for us to make this deal work? It's aggressive. It's pushy. It feels either defensive or feels like a straight up attack. It's definitely not going to be the temperature of conversation that's going to lead the outcomes that we're looking for. And where I conjured this up from was the repeated listening to a particular sequence of words that crops up in a lot of sales environments. And it's the words, I just need some time to think about it. And with the experience that I've garnered through the years, I've learned that more often than not, when somebody says, I need some time to think about it, it doesn't mean they're going to take some time to think about it. It means they're just going to push this decision away for another day. And that to me felt unfair. And I wanted to be able to ask things like rude, obnoxious questions, like just to shout at them and say, what is it that you want to think about? But that is rude and you can't do those things. So I learned by prefacing a direct question with the words, just out of curiosity, you can ask whatever you on earth you like. And you turn rude and obnoxious into soft and fluffy. You look at how even it would work in a parent-child scenario. If the child will say to mom or to dad is, say, just out of curiosity, what would it take for you to allow me to stay out past 10 p.m.? You're far more likely to be able to have the conversation you were looking for to than, why can't I stay out till after 10 o'clock? All my friends can stay out till after 10 o'clock.
That's right. I love the idea of question softeners as well. Whenever you start with the word why in anything, right? Where you, and you talk about this in the book, where you say, help me to understand why. I think that question softener really, really allows you to ask the tough questions.
Right. Because what you've done is you've put purpose behind the ask.
Yes.
And I think the purpose for the ask is what gives you permission to ask it. Without permission to ask, you sound self-centered. Whereas you can fuel any ask with curiosity or concern, and now all of a sudden you're being human and empathetic.
Powerful. Phil, I'm sure people are going to want to reach out to you after this and buy the book. How do they do that? Where do they go to?
Absolutely. The best way to find me, however you might want to find me, is starting at the website, which is philmjones.com. And from there, you can spin out to all the relevant social channels. Come find me on the one that you like best. And if you've listened to this show, come drop me a comment, drop me a note, say, hey, I heard you on Mark's show. And we can talk about Mark behind his back for a second or two. In terms of books, if you can't find the book in the place that you like to buy books, then please let me know that, because that is my problem and not yours. Yeah, you should be able to find it just about everywhere that books are sold.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on and sharing your wisdom today.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Keep up the good work and let's keep sharpening swords together, right?
Hey, friends. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.